and giving honor to God, who is the head of my life, to everyone in their respective places. Amen. I thank God for being here. I took a short mini vacation, but it's good to be back home.
Amen.
I tell you one thing, being down in Mississippi, you better have a full tank of gas. Because you don't know when you're going to get that next gas station. So when you take off, you better make sure it's on F. Because if you get lost, you're going to need some reserve. Amen. I'm telling you, everything is just so far away. But to them, it's next door. Man, had a good time, spent time with family, enjoyed the fellowship with them, just being with family. You just don't know when you will see them again. Family is important. Amen. We need to understand it and realize that. Amen. You can be healthy today, but you can still die today. Amen. You don't know when. So we enjoyed fellowship with the family, enjoyed getting out of the house. I know the kids enjoyed swimming because that's what they do. So we are thankful that we made it there safely and made it back. I also enjoyed, we had a little stopover in Arkansas to see my wife's brother. It was really enjoyable just sitting there and talking, knowing him as a child, now as an adult. I like the fact that this man has given his life to Christ. And he's working in the ministry. And so just to hear him talk gave me chills. Amen. To see that we got another one. Amen. Amen. We got another one. So it was just a blessing just to hear him talk and the things that he's trying to do for God and the kingdom was just a blessing. I got a little comfortable down there, but knowing we had to get back and get the kids back in school. Amen. But it was definitely enjoyable just listening to him. Psalms 139. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Psalms 139. When you have it, can you say amen? Begin reading. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Amen. For the reading, hearers, and doers of God's word.
Amen.
This should let you know that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And so I don't know why preachers don't want to preach about hell. And here it is. If you make your bed in hell, God is there. That lets you know hell is real. The presence of God is also real. We need to understand that there is no pit too deep that God is not deeper still. Now, when we wake up in the morning, God is with me. Amen. When I kneel to worship, God is with me. Even when I drive my car, the Lord is with me. If I get on the plane, God is with me. When I arrive to my destination, God is with me. Amen? God is not limited by time or space or height or our level of faith. He is always with us. As David proclaimed in Psalms 139, God is everywhere out there. Amen? But God is also here in the heart. He lives inside of every person who puts their trust in God through faith in Jesus Christ. For 400 years, the children of Israel lived as slaves in the land of Egypt, surrounded by Egyptian pagan gods and their pagan culture. They must have felt like David when he wrote the Psalms, my God, why have you forsaken us? Why are you so far from saving us? So far from words of groaning. But for 400 years, they cried out and God did not answer. By night, God appeared to be silent. Let me say this to you. When you were in school, and listen to what I'm saying, these people here, the children of Israel, they were crying out to God. They were being persecuted. They were slaves, and they were going through a terrible time, a test in their lives. But let me say this to you. When you were in school, during a test time, did the teacher talk to you? The answer is no. It's not a hard question. The teacher was silent during the test because you had to what? Pass it. It's to see what you know. So here it is. God seemed silent to them during the test. But notice when you're in the school and you're in the class, the teacher is walking around. The teacher is present with you. I had a teacher when I was taking a test, the teacher would come by and do this. Mm-hmm. Teacher was checking me and looking at me go through this test. And the teacher went to the next student, walking and observing. The presence of the teacher was there. You can feel the teacher pass by. You can feel the teacher coming upon you. But the teacher was there, not saying a word, but present and accounted for. Looking at everything that you're going through, that you're doing. God is present with us, regardless of where you may be, regardless of what you're doing or what you're going through, God is present. When you're having problems on your job, God is right there with you, walking and looking and observing, wanting to see how you will pass this test. Keep in mind, we all going to be tested. The question is, what you're going to do when it's time for you to take the test? But the children of Israel, they thought God had forsaken them because they didn't hear from God. But he was present and accounted for. Because God did hear them. God was with them. And with Moses on the backside of nowhere, 1,000 miles away, God seen the misery of his people in Egypt. So God tells Moses, I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptian to bring them out of the land into a good and spacious land, flowing with milk and honey. God commands Moses, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. To let Moses know that he wasn't alone, God commands Moses to throw his staff down. And it became a serpent. We all know what happened after that. Pharaoh said, all that ain't nothing but a magic trick, you know. So he got his musician to throw his down, and God ate his up. When Moses picks it up again, it turns back into a staff. And the staff traveled everywhere Moses went. Now, it's not saying that the staff, this thing, was an idol. But it was just letting Moses know that God was with him. Because nobody can see God face to face and live. So God used this as just a symbol to let them know that I'm with you. Because whenever Moses needed to use it, it came into what God wanted it to be. So Moses used it to call down plagues upon the Egyptians. Then Moses used it to part the Red Sea. That was God with him. And then the children of Israel were able to pass on dry ground. So Moses used it to close the sea up and drown Pharaoh's army. Moses used his staff to win the battle against the Amalekites. And with that same staff, Moses provided water for God's people in the desert. Moses used that staff to hold himself up and to hold up God's people when they were down. It was a sign of God's presence everywhere Moses went. God was with them. God also let his presence be seen among his people in other ways. Once they had crossed the Red Sea, the Lord went ahead of them as a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night and a pillar of fire to give them light. So they could travel by day and by night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people of Israel. The Lord was present and with the Israelites every step, every minute. Everywhere a child of God goes, God is with you. Amen. This is what the Lord said to the children of Israel. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. In other words, God said, I snatched you. Yeah. Y'all ever seen somebody snatch something? You just go and just snatch it. You take it because you're using what? Authority. You're using force. You're letting them know that, give me that. That's mine. If you don't believe me, you don't have to teach a child to snatch something. When the child comes into this world, they see something they want. They'll go to it and they'll snatch it. They'll take it. God said, I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of your oppressors. I drove the enemy from before you and gave you their land. You a bad son of a gun if you can give somebody something that don't belong. Boy, I'm telling you, you are something else if you can take something from somebody and give it to somebody else. Then that's bad. And they can't do nothing about it. God said, I'm the Lord, your God. Do not worship the other gods. Worship me. God cares enough to free us from the bondage of sin. Set us free. Give us the gift of abundant and eternal life so that we can be reconciled to him and worship him. God is saying, I did not free you so that you would suffer. I free you so you can return to me, worship me, and be blessed. After Moses' death, the Lord himself told Joshua, as I was with Moses, God let you know I'm still here. Even though Moses is gone, dead, only person that knows where he's buried is me. Nobody knows where Moses is buried, but God said, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. In other words, God said, check my resume. Check my credentials. Google me. Check me out. Look at what I've done. God said, I will do the same thing for you. You're a child of God. You put your trust in God. God will do it for you. Another way that God made people aware of his ever-abiding presence was through his prophets. See, folks don't like prophets. Prophets tell the truth. They speak what God say. And when they speak what God say, you don't like it, then you get mad. You don't, the prophets didn't take it personal, but they ain't mad at the prophets, really. They mad at what God is saying. Prophets tell what is the truth. And you know one thing I like about that? People don't want to hear the truth. Y'all know what it's really going to boil down to in the last days? It's going to be a battle about the truth. Nobody wants to hear the truth. Everybody wants to hear the lie. They fascinated with a lie. You tell somebody a lie, they be like, yeah, yep, yeah, he did it. Yeah, she did it. And they don't even know the truth. We go on what somebody else has said, and we ain't even figured out the real truth. All we doing is putting in our own minds and say, yeah, they did it, because they're the type of person that would do it. So God can't change nobody. We'll crucify, boy, I'm going to tell you, boy, we'll crucify a person in a minute. Amen. I mean, get them hung up, strung up. I would be on that cross. We'll crucify a person. The Lord said, David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because his rod, his staff, let us know that he is there. God is with us. After the last prophet Malachi spoke, God appeared to be silenced once more. After 400 years, God did not send another prophet like Moses until he sent himself, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. It seems like we only like to use Emmanuel around Christmas time. Well, for some of y'all, that's when God shows up. But for me, he's with me all the time. Emmanuel. I don't have to wait till a certain season to use a name. Emmanuel means God is with us. He ain't with us on December the 25th. In the upper room, Jesus told his disciples, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. According to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is always with us because it lives with us and lives in us. All right. Amen? That's why you got to be careful what you put in this body. Amen? You can't just put anything in this body thinking you still saved. Thinking you still got the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. No disrespect, nah. But if you smoke and you inside your car, don't roll the windows down. Keep them up. No disrespect. Keep them up. Get them as tight as it can be. I mean, get it as tight as you can and just smoke 4 or 5 cigarettes. I guarantee you won't be able to stand being inside that vehicle. You won't roll the windows down. Even when you're cooking, you open up some windows to kind of air it out a little bit. What I'm trying to get you to understand, if you can't stand that, the Holy Spirit is real. Do you think that it's going to stay inside of you with all that smoke and toxin? No. It's going to flee. It will not dwell in any unclean temple. You got to keep it clean. And it is a daily process. I hope, you know, let me just say this. You know, I'm trying to get a little personal here. But, you know, when you wake up in the morning, you freshen up. I hope you don't just come and show up at church. Amen. I hope you don't just come and just show up at work, ain't brushed your teeth, ain't did nothing. You want to say, good, you know, you use words that put emphasis on good morning. I don't need you to say it like that. How you doing, brother? You know, and not freshen up. Come on now. Let me tell you something. You have to take that dirt off of this flesh, because it will get on you and it will stay on you. So you got to be in constant cleansing. Amen? Constant cleansing. I remember one time I was washing my car and God gave me a revelation after I got done washing my car. God said, take that same rag and go wash up with it. I said, Lord, I ain't doing that. God said, no. Take that same rag that you used to wash your car, now go wash your body. Well, I said, that's nasty. God said, really? He said, but people use the same thing to try to praise me. That's dirty. But they won't use it on themselves. Y'all better watch out now. Y'all ain't gonna talk back to me this morning. Jesus was aware that he wasn't gonna be on this earth long. Not in the physical. Okay? I'm talking about as a human. He knew he wasn't gonna be here long. So it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that he had come for his time to leave and go to the Father. This put his followers in a bad position, because anytime a leader leaves, it creates a vacuum. It causes a sense of instability. Or when you have a family member who is the patriarch of the family, or who is, you know, the head of the family, anytime somebody powerful leaves, it kind of leaves you in kind of like a disarray. It really hurts you. Can you imagine having, you know, some of us, we're familiar with OnStar, you know, the new generation, the old generation, y'all familiar with the map. Okay, y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all familiar with the map. That's old school. New school, y'all got OnStar and GPS. Okay, y'all follow me? So I covered everybody. So think about this. Can you imagine having the OnStar system in your car for a long time, and then all of a sudden having it taken away from you? You had directions and answers right at your fingertips. But now it's gone. So I'm sure a person used to using OnStar would feel a little lost now, especially if you're directionally challenged. Lord, you try not to make eye contact with folks when you say that. Amen. I ain't talking about folks. Folks don't know where they going. You know, come out of the grocery store, walking in that direction, and car over here. And you look and you be like, car's over here. I mean, just walking just as proud. Stay focused. See? Well, see how you get off track? But here's the thing. Now, think about it. They felt a little vulnerable. The same thing would be true with the disciples. When Jesus said he was leaving, I'm sure there was a sense of instability and uncertainty. But Jesus relieved their fears by letting them know he wasn't just leaving them to face the world alone. I'm not going to do that. Not by yourself. I'm not going to leave you alone. He told them he was going to give them another counselor, a comforter, depending on what translation you're looking at. It's all the same. Comforter, counselor. You know, the word counselor, one who represents you at court, stands at your side to plead your case. You may be thinking, the only people who need defense counsels are criminals. And you're saying, I'm not a criminal. Well, while that may be true, but according to the laws of man, it's not true according to the laws of God. If we break just one commandment of God, I already heard it. Somebody reads the Bible. They understand. If you break just one, commandment of God,
you're in trouble of breaking every one of them. Now you may say, well, I never committed adultery. If you break one law of God, yes, you did. Because you have committed all of them. That's the way God's law is. Now, man's law, they may say, well, you know, you may break the speed limit. You know, you're all right. But you're not guilty of being a murderer. That's according to man's law. But with God, you break one law. Y'all think I'm playing. In God's word, you break one law, you are guilty of everything. That means you're an adulterer, you're a thief, you're a liar, you're everything. That's the word. And I heard it said before I even got to it. So it lets me know I'm not the only one that read that. While that may be true, you know, according to man's law, but think about this for a moment. You have to read God's word and know God's word. But see, here's the thing. Here's the thing. For whosoever keep the whole law and yet stumble at just one point is guilty of breaking them all. But the Bible teaches that there will be a day when we'll stand before God in judgment. You know, that day is coming. We keep talking about it, but it's going to be a reality. Amen? And if we stand before God in judgment, that means we're going to need someone to give us a defense. Amen? To represent us before God because our own, we're guilty. That's where the counselor steps in. Amen? Jesus said he was going to give his followers a counselor who will represent them before God, a counselor who will be their friend and give them guidance. You know, this counselor is the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's the Holy Spirit. Refers to him as the Spirit of Truth. Amen. So how is Jesus with us if he sends someone in his place? But here's the answer. Note, and you look in John 14 and 16, it says that God will send another counselor. The word another means another of the same kind. Basically, he's sending himself. He said another of the same kind. Let me tell you something. You need it. So it means the Holy Spirit isn't an inferior replacement before Jesus because he's of the same kind as Jesus. Having the Holy Spirit with you is just as good as having Jesus with you. But God sent us the Holy Spirit because we need the Holy Spirit to work as our counselor. Why? Because we need a counselor who would defend us before God. We need a counselor who would give us advice and leadership. Is there anyone in here that ever went to somebody for advice? There are people who've been through what you've been through. So you go to them for advice. There are people who have experience and know how to handle certain situations that you're dealing with because they've experienced that, right? So that's what the Holy Spirit is willing to do for us. So can you imagine trying to defend yourself in a court of law for murder if you weren't a lawyer? The prosecuting attorney will pick you apart because you wouldn't have the same knowledge of the law that their lawyer has. Amen? That's why in our country, we have the right to counsel, because very few people can actually defend themselves in the court of law. Right. And at the same and the same thing is true in God's court. Uh-huh. Amen. You can't defend yourself. Yet God, in his grace, has sent one to defend us, to stand up for us and give us comfort. The Holy Spirit knows how to defend us, how to take care of us, and how to be there for us. We are told in Romans 8, 26 and 27, in the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We don't know what we are to pray for, but the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in according with God's will. The Holy Spirit knows how to speak for us before God. In other words, the Holy Spirit knows God's language. Jesus hasn't abandoned us. He's given us the Holy Spirit to be our counselor, to be the one who defends us and give us the direction in life. You need someone that knows God's word. You need someone to defend you in God's kingdom. And that's what Jesus is for, the Holy Spirit is for. Jesus talked about the importance of the Holy Spirit when he said, when he comes, the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. It's the Holy Spirit who prompts us in our spirit of what's right and what's wrong. He gives us a holy nudge in the direction we should be living our lives. Amen? So if you don't have the Holy Spirit and you're out there doing everything all willy-nilly, I can say, oh, that person ain't got the Holy Spirit. There's one, there's two, there's three, there's four, there's a couple of them. If they ain't living according to God's word. Right. Why? Because if you are living according to God's word, the Holy Spirit, when you get ready to do something that's not according to God's word, it will say to you, oh, you don't want to do that. Amen. You don't want to do that. Amen. Back away from it. It's not according to God's word. But if you just go and do it like it ain't nothing to it, you can tell that person ain't got the Spirit in them. No disrespect, but you just don't have the Spirit in you. All right. Amen? It's just that simple. Now, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the nature desires. They're going to give nature what it desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what is spiritual and what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. Y'all know why laws are being changed? People's minds are hostile towards God. They don't care nothing about God. The same way that they were living in Lot's days, it's the same way that they're living now. Right. Folks don't care anything about God. God means absolutely nothing to them. Nothing to them. God doesn't even exist to them, because according to their minds, if God was real, then why is all this stuff going on? But if you read the Bible, right, you will understand the reason why people are doing what they're doing. It was prophesied that this would happen. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, God's got to live in you for you to be doing things of the Holy Spirit. If you ain't doing things of the Holy Spirit, that means it's not in you. I don't care what your opinion says. Your opinion means nothing. Out there is a bunch of opinions. Matter of fact, I even go this way. Out there is a bunch of lawyers that has not passed the bar. That'll tell you about life. They'll tell you about the law and don't even know the law. Having the Holy Spirit within us is so important for another reason as well. Knowing that he's within us should prompt us to live our very best. It's very easy for us to slip into sinful living when we don't feel like there's anyone there watching us. Y'all know this slogan? You go to Vegas, what the slogan says? Whatever goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas, right? So it lets you know that whatever you do that's wrong in Vegas, nobody's gonna tell on you. Nothing's gonna happen. Everything is locked, sealed, and it's a secret. So whatever you do out there, you good. Nobody's going to talk about it. Nobody's going to bring it up, because whatever goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas. Now, that's a lie. I mean, that's a lie. I mean, that's how the world wants to live. But when you're following a follower of Christ, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. But that can mean the very best for us. Knowing he's living in us, I'm still talking about God is everywhere. He's living within us, should motivate us, inspire us to live our very best, to live according to his word, amen, the Bible. Amen. People live their best. Watch this, y'all. Watch this. People live their best when they know they're being watched. Y'all ain't talking to me this morning. When you being watched, you know you living your best. You being watched, you gonna be like this. Yeah, we got the Bible, we got our walk together, we got everything. We living our best because people are watching us, and we know people are watching us. That's why people like to march around when they do offering. And churches, they like when offering time comes. They already ready. They like, ushers don't even come to the pews yet. They already getting up. And then you make the other people in the row get up, and everybody walking around. They like that moment. As soon as they hit that corner, boy, they hit that curve like that, and they walk on up there. Y'all think I'm playing with you? Go to some of them churches that do that. People like to be seen. They like to be watched. When they're watching, when you're watching people, they're doing their best. They're looking their best. People live their best when they know they're being watched. All I'm saying is that whatever you're doing, know that God is watching you. I was teaching a Sunday school lesson, and it was talking about somewhere on the same line as this, and the little boy called a man that was doing something he had no business doing, and somehow the man said, well, nobody was looking, and the little boy said, well, did you take the time to look up? And in other words, what he was basically saying was, God was watching you from above. The man said he looked to his right, he looked to his left, you know, and he said he didn't see nobody looking, but the little boy said, but did you look up? God is watching you. Everywhere you go, the Bible even says it here, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. You ain't gonna get away from God. So whatever you're doing, however you're doing it, I want you to remember this, that God is right there with you, looking at you. Now let me tell you this, I don't care if you're saved or if you're not saved, it doesn't matter. God is either in you, amen, or he's out of you, looking at you. I'd rather have God in me, amen, I want him in me. Because if he's in me, he's doing the work in me. In the Old Testament, you see glimpse of the Holy Spirit at work in the lives of people. We're told that the Holy Spirit came upon King Saul. Well, y'all know it didn't stay long, right? It came. Well, it's true. People try to say that the Holy Spirit wasn't in the Old Testament. Yes, it was. You're not reading. You're not studying. It came upon Saul, but it didn't stay. And left. He came upon King David, but the difference in the Holy Spirit presence was temporary. It was temporary. We're told in 1 Samuel 16 and 14, now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul. It left him. David asked God, keep the Holy Spirit from leaving me. Oh, Lord, don't take your spirit. Don't take your spirit. David wanted to keep it. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm not up here just trying to make y'all laugh. I'm telling you the truth. But this was all to change when Jesus ascended into heaven after his resurrection. After Jesus left, the Holy Spirit came upon his followers during the Pentecost. The difference was the Holy Spirit was coming to live within the lives of the followers of Jesus Christ on a permanent basis and not on a temporary basis. That's what Jesus meant when he said, I will not leave you as orphans. What's an orphan? An orphan is one who is fatherless. One who doesn't have a parent. Here's where a lot of people get into trouble, is when they don't have an authority figure in the life to give them directions. Now, why you think we got all these problems out here? Why you think there's so many men in prison? Because it's not a man in their life. It's not a daddy in their life. You understand what I'm saying? They have these young men are having trouble. They're struggling. The reason why they're struggling, and there's no disrespect to the ladies, no disrespect to you, but at a certain time, I've heard other preachers say it too, you better turn that boy over to that man. Let him deal with him. But my point is, what I'm trying to say is not to make things out of agenda, but to let you understand that there's a reason why things are happening in this world is because we're not following the order of God. When a person does not have that authority figure in their life, they go in the opposite direction.
All right.
You need someone to say no.
All right.
You ain't doing it. I don't care what everybody else is doing. I went to my parents and I asked them if I could do something, and they said no.
All right.
Every time you get ready to go, can I? No. Can I do this? No. What about this? No. Ask me again. I'm telling you, you need to say no. Nowadays, people will be like, oh, don't be so bad on them. Don't say that to you. Man, I be wanting to do this to people. Tell me what to say to my child. People tell you, don't be so hard on them. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Not hard enough.
All right.
David asked God to keep the spirit from leaving him. Love the presence of God's spirit. Love God's spirit on him. Now, orphan. The disciples, spiritual leader, was getting ready to leave them. And in one sense, they felt as though they were being abandoned. They were going to be orphaned. But Jesus wasn't going to let that happen to them because he knew how easy it is for us to fall away from living godly lives without proper leadership. You need guidance. You need leadership. Let me tell you something. When God labeled us as sheep, if y'all understand the definition of a sheep will follow, do whatever, anything. There is no defense mechanism in a sheep. I don't think a sheep would even bite you. I would even bite you. But my point is, what I'm saying is, there is no defense in the sheep at all. Somebody came up to attack a sheep, the sheep would just sit there and just let them attack them. I don't even think a sheep will fight back. The Bible says we are all sheep. Amen? And that's what the Bible is saying. He labeled us as a sheep because what he's saying is we're vulnerable. We'll follow any wind and doctrine. Let somebody say something, be like, oh, that's a good speaker. But don't realize this person ain't living right. But we'll follow that. It sounds good to our ears. Makes us feel good. But ain't getting no teaching. That's like a parent that's just feeding their children junk. How healthy do you expect for that child to continue to be? Not, unless they get some substance. Something that they need. I remember one time I told my grandmother, I ain't eating that. Ooh, that was the wrong thing to say. Number one, I wasn't in my right mind. Amen? I'm going to tell y'all right, I wasn't in my right mind. I don't know where that came from. And then there was a switch in the house. And my grandmother said to me, you going to eat that. And I said to myself, I ain't eating that. I don't eat that. Now, everybody done ate outside playing. I'm still sitting there swinging my legs and got this oatmeal in front of me. And I was like, well, I ain't eating that. Now it's cold. Grandmother came by a couple of times. And she could have a smart mouth if she want one. She came by and said, "Nah, it's cold. You still gonna need it," and kept going. And you know what? She came back. Should have ate it while it was hot. And she kept going. And as I thought about it, I said, "Shoot, I've been sitting here for a while now." You know, people, you know, a couple of cousins came through and said, "You still sitting there?" Yeah, I was protesting. It was an early stage of my life where I was trying to understand the concept of protesting. Needless to say, it didn't work. Because eventually, if I sit there too long, that's gonna be a problem. So, and my grandma said, "I don't waste food. You're gonna eat this." So I ate it. Didn't like it, held my breath. That's how I ate it. I ate it just like that. I ain't want no feeling, no taste, no nothing of it going down. I try to put it in the back of my throat and just shove it down there. If there was a way that I could have pumped it into my stomach without me even taking it through my mouth, I would have did that. But I didn't want to eat it. But needless to say, she won. She got away. But we are stubborn. We need somebody with authority over us to tell us that this is what you're going to eat, this is what you need, and I'm not bagging down from this. You don't need a child to tell you what they ain't going to do. You don't need that. You are the authority figure. Let me tell you something. Anything that you named, you got authority over it. I named my children. I got authority over them. They don't have authority over me. Amen? Y'all better believe that. That's why Adam, God gave Adam dominion over the animals. Adam named the animals. You got authority over that. You don't let them have authority over you. Somebody you name telling you what to do. The little boy that lived next door to my parents told them what to do. I said, "Well, you look at that." Listen to this. We can only be in one place at one time. And there are some places where we cannot be. When Jesus walked the earth, Jesus was only in one place at one time. This is why it's important for him that he said, "I must go." Because as long as I'm here, the Holy Spirit can't come. Amen? So he had to ascend back because Jesus was in one place at one time in the flesh. But now that he has ascended back into heaven, now he's everywhere. Amen? He's everywhere. Some folks picture God as a faraway person who lives in heaven, occasionally breaks into the world to do some miracle. It's not so. God is right here with us right now. His love is here. His grace is here. His mercy is here. He's always near to our hearts and minds and soul. God's presence is like the air we breathe. None of us can see the air we breathe, but we benefit from the air that we breathe. Yeah. None of us can see God, but we benefit from the presence of God. Yeah. We move and have our being because of God. Yeah. If God were to say to you or not speak to your spirit this morning, you wouldn't have got up. Right. You would have stayed there in the bed. Then they would have been calling the undertakers to come get you. But because God was present and he spoke a word to your body, you got up this morning. But you got up under the power of God. It was God that gave you the activities of your limbs. It was God that spoke to you this morning. Not the alarm clock that you set. Right. It wasn't that. Right. It was God that did it. Yeah. Everything that we have, it is God. Yes. man ain't doing anything for you but making your life miserable. God is the one that is taking care of you. If God didn't do it, it wasn't done. Every time you look around, you see in the presence of God. These trees, God made it. God did it. The clouds, that was God. The sun, that was God. The birds, that was God. He created all things. By him, all things were made. We are here today because of God. He is living inside of us, with us. He's with us everywhere we go. No matter what we do, God is with us. Just know that wherever you go, you're taking the Lord with you. And here's the thing. You don't have to worry about, is he going to be with you? He's everywhere. I make it personal. My God. There's nothing wrong with making it personal.
Yeah.
But it's my God.
Yeah.
Said he would never leave me nor forsake me. When I get ready to face something that I know that's going to cause me problems, I know that. I say, God, I know you with me. You know, it ain't wrong with talking to yourself. Because I ain't really talking to myself. I'm talking to God that's with me. When God said, let us, he wasn't talking to himself. He was talking to Jesus, the Holy Spirit. He said, let us. We need to know that we serve a big God. Bigger than your problems. Bigger than anything that you could ever imagine. I don't care what it is. Oh, no, you don't know what my problem is. It doesn't matter. Because God is bigger than your problems. Whatever it is that you're going through, I guarantee you, he can fix it if you give it to him. But you got to give it to him. Amen.